back with Bill Henry on Coast to Coast PM from west of the Rockies. Dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, 1-800-449-8686. And to talk to Phil here in the studio or to talk to yourself, dial 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show on the Premier Radio Networks.
Could you hear that? Oh, you did? I thought he buried the front end of that. And by the way, never mind. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. This terrible, terrible event in New York, the shooting at a Wendy's restaurant, this is in Queens, and this occurred at closing time, about 11 p.m. last evening. The victims, six men and one woman, ranged in age from 18 to 44. Apparently, some gunmen walked in and shot all five people, and they think that the gunmen were African-American men. Am I right about that? And the victims were, according to the news reports, Asians or Asian-American. And we have on the line with us Raj Faneen. He is with the Foundation for the Study of Humans. And Mr. Faneen, really, I don't want to talk too much about this case because we don't have all of the facts involved in this thing. But what I do want to talk about is what you are more adept at, and that is relations between these two communities, the Asian community and the African American community. Can you comment if you think that might have had some play in this? Well, we don't have his. We do not have Mr. Faneen. I'm sorry. We're going to try to get him back up, but apparently we lost the connection. What we are talking about here this afternoon, though, is the alleged, I say, involvement. Did they make any arrests in this? And so we have to see the alleged involvement of black gunmen. Mr. Faneen, I'm awfully sorry. This is Phil Henry. We lost our connection. Were you able to hear my question?
Yes, but this is very difficult to understand, but there's been a long time a traditional not good relation between Asian American, African American, or the Asian people and African American people. Asians have not fought in wars with African-American people, mostly white people. A lot of Asian restaurants are located in the black neighborhoods. Lots of Asian restaurants are located in these African-American neighborhoods, so that most African-American people have contact with Asian people who are operate business in their neighborhood.
Right. I mean, we're aware that, and a lot of times those relationships have resulted in, not a lot of times, but at least in the stories that make the radar, that is news, have ended in tragedy, haven't they?
There's been a contact between these two peoples that have not been satisfactory, and that's why it's important to understand the history between these people. As to why it is that Asian people, African-American people, or black people are not able to get along or to work in their neighborhood the best way they can. This shooting in New York, I'm not clear on, but it could possibly have something to do with this.
It could have to do with the bad relations?
Bad relation between these two communities, yes. Asians are operate these restaurants, which are mostly in black neighborhoods. We notice that the Asian people, it's a matter of time before the black man will fight the Asian in war.
And what is your theory is the Asians Asian people have been beaten by every race on earth except black people in war, correct?
That is correct, yes. That the white man has beaten the Asian, Japanese or Chinese or Vietnamese or Korean people, he's beat them in war. Most possibly is a brown man has gone to war. The only race that is not yet beaten the Asian in war is the black man.
All right, so the only race that hasn't beaten black people in war or haven't
beat the Asian people.
Haven't beaten Asian people in war are black people.
That's right, because the Asian, the Japanese, they got beat by the white man.
Meaning World War II.
Meaning Korea and Vietnam. Also, so they say, also to go back to the Chinese during 1920s, the gunboat incident. You see.
All right, so what's this got to do with the fact that black people have never... So the white guy has beaten Asians in a war, black guys haven't. What's that got to do with the fact that Asians and blacks don't have good relations? And you mentioned something about restaurants.
Well, the black man has not beat the Asian in war. The Asian knows it's only a matter of time before the black man fights the Asian man in war. So he has gone into the black neighborhood to set up these different, you know, a fast food restaurant. And they're pushing pork and bacon meat, bad meat bacon burger. Also pork fried rice or McRib, pork rib, baby back rib. So they are forcing this kind of bad food on a black man to give him the high blood pressure and to give him unstable heart and to eventually create a situation in terms of the health of the black man that is not conducive, and the black people don't want this to happen, obviously, so they are beginning to fight back.
We're talking with Raj Fanin of the Foundation for the Study of Humans. You also drive a taxi cab in Los Angeles, correct?
That is correct, yes. This is, for me, education, beginning education for me.
Okay. Your premise is that Asian and African-American peoples in America haven't gotten on traditionally because something about Asian people... I'm having a difficult time understanding you, but you're saying that Asians open up restaurants in black neighborhoods that serve a lot of pork fat. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And the reason why they're doing that is because eventually black people will beat them in a war?
No, it's not for sure, but I'm saying that every race has beat the Asian man.
Okay, so every race on Earth has beaten Asians in a war, except for blacks.
Right.
And it's inevitable that they'll have to fight them in a war, and they'd probably beat them too?
For the Asian, believe that the black man will beat him in a war, yes. So he wants to keep that from happening.
And so he wants to keep that from happening, so he opens up fast food restaurants in black neighborhoods and serves lots of pork.
Correct.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686.
You have to understand something.
Now, let me just get the number out here. 1-800-449-8686. Speaking here with Mr. Fanin. Yes, sir.
You have to understand that this black people have a traditional fondness for pork. They eat the bacon, they eat the pork. Pork product, but it kills people because of the blood pressure. The black man is going to eat what the Asian feeds him. This is proven. Black people will eat whatever Asian man puts down in front of him. It's a matter of location and convenience. And generation after...
What do you mean black people will eat whatever an Asian man puts in front of him?
It's a matter of convenience. Because generation after generation of black families have been fed by Asians so that they don't know. The whole reason why the black man eats pork is because the Asian man has fed him the pork. And so my message for the African-American man is for him to wean himself off the pork.
Well, you know, there are a lot of, for instance, Nation of Islam and Muslims in general don't eat pork, and the reason being they believe it to be a filthy animal. So you would agree, at least to that extent?
I agree with this because it's not a healthy food, and it's going to cause, in terms of a disease, a trichinosis, a high blood pressure from sodium. But also I would say that you have to understand that it's being fed to you to kill you by the Asian man. And
Asian restaurants down in black neighborhoods are serving up pork so that black people won't beat them in a world war. Now, let me ask you, where do you get your premise? I mean, you know...
It's from study to study history. If you look at history, you look at the history of the relation between the Asian people and the rest of the people of the world, you look at the black man today, who is... a bad relation with the Asian man, you see.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily bad. There have been some bad incidents between African-American people and Asian or Asian-American shopkeepers, if that's what you're saying.
That's right. Because this reason is because they are not a people conducive to good relations because of what I've said.
That they're feeding them pork.
That the Asian are feeding black men pork, yes.
So, well, what is your suggestion? You mentioned that there are a couple of ways out of this for black people.
To go back to the native food, to eliminate the influence of the Asian man. So the African...
All right, so, such as what? When you talk about...
Well, you have to go back to your native food, the zebra. To go back to native food to eat zebra. To eat the food of the same, get it a monkey, a hyena. If you eat zebra, if you eat monkey, then you're off the pork.
What's to guarantee if I get off of pork, if I'm black and I'm not eating pork, and I get back onto zebra and monkey, what's the guarantee that that's not hurting me?
Because this is a natural food. In other words, your constitution, your physiology is used to this kind of food. This is constitutionally the food that your body first was able to process and first was able to biochemically recognize.
So it sort of purifies the system.
Absolutely, yes. Sure. And if you do this, then you can begin to, almost as a drug addict begins to wean himself off of this drug, you wean yourself off of pork, and you wean yourself off of Asian chopped suey or whatever because of that.
All right, we're talking with Raj Faneen. Mr. Faneen, with the Foundation of the Study of Humans, believes that bad relations between African Americans and Asians in this country stems from a need on the part of Asians to kill black people with pork food from the fast food restaurants that they own, because African Americans will eventually beat them in a war just the way a white man did. His suggestion for black people to go back to their native foods, zebra, giraffe, and monkey, to purify the system. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. There was a shooting, very, and we're not really talking specifically about that, but one of these tragic urban crimes where people were murdered in a restaurant in Queens, New York yesterday. It is alleged the gunmen were African American, the victims were Asian. There is a well-known enmity among, let's just say, some members of the Asian community in America and African Americans. I don't know what it's about. It probably has to do with a lot of things. On the line with us from the Foundation for the Study of Humans, Raj Faneen. Admittedly, Mr. Faneen, and your theory, by the way, before we get into what you're talking about,
yes,
is that Asian Americans are trying to kill African Americans with greasy pork food from their fast food restaurants, correct?
Yes, sir.
In order that they will not have to fight them in a future war because they've been beaten by every race on Earth in war, correct?
Yes.
Now, would you say that your organization is fringe?
But, I can't address that. I study people. I look at history. I look at culture. I try to make a conclusion based on history and culture. Every black neighborhood, there is Asian-owned and operated business. They're mostly fast food restaurants. Asian restaurants always serve a bacon burger, pork fried rice, the McRib, and also baby back rib. This is all pork food that black people don't like, or at least have evidence that they don't like, and yet they eat that, and they die from cholesterol. The Asian people feed them pork food to kill them so that they will not beat them in war.
Do you think Asians are inept at war?
When it comes to fighting other race, yes. They can beat their own race, but they can't beat the white man, probably not beat the black man.
You think black people would beat Asians in a war?
World War, yes. But everybody beat them. World War II, they got their butt kicked. The Russian-Japanese War, they got their butt kicked. Every time the Asian goes to war, he gets his butt kicked. Then the white man comes in and beats him.
So we have a racial situation here as well as bad food, would you say?
Well, but if you to make a joke...
No, I'm not making a joke, but that's what you're saying, that there is some racial superiority as well as the food issue. Let's go to a phone call. This is Sicklerville on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I think this guy is off his rocker. I apologize to be offensive in any way, but to come up with this theory that blacks have not beaten the Asians, first, in any war that the Americans have fought, blacks have fought in those wars as well. We haven't kept the blacks at home and sent all the whites out to go fight. That's crazy. Who come up with this theory?
But
secondly, the whole issue about pork killing us, we've been eating pork almost all our lives.
That's what's kept you back.
I'm sorry?
That is what's kept you down.
I am not down. Let me tell you
something. The Asian man knows this.
Excuse me, sir. I am an African-American businessman who owns my own business. I make over $150,000 a year. I drive two brand new cars, built a brand new house, and I am in very good healthy shape, and no Asian has ever helped me down. The problem is,
are you saying do you eat pork?
Do I? Yes, I eat pork. I've been born and raised on pork. Matter of fact, my favorite is chitlins.
But that's all right. See, you're different. Most black people.
Everybody around me are the same. All my friends. I got doctors, lawyers. I got all kinds of professional people that are my friends that are African-Americans that are successful. The reason why you have problems with African-Americans and Asians in the same area is because Asians is putting their business in African-American areas that were dangerous. Those African-Americans that attacked those Asians will also attack blacks, whites, Italians, anyone else who got a story there because they are having problems with their own issues and they're robbing anyone they can.
But why do the Muslims don't want to eat pork? Because the Muslims know that the Asians are trying to kill you with it.
Wrong. Let me tell you why the Muslims don't
That's
want
got nothing
pork.
To do with the Asians.
Let me tell you why Muslims do not eat pork. The Muslims follow what is known as the Levitical law. I'm sorry, I'm a deacon. I speak the word to you, too. And they follow what is known as the Levitical law.
Are you a black Muslim?
The Levitical law says, wait a minute, the Levitical law says that we should not eat swine, and it also says we shouldn't eat shellfish. But what they do is they chose not to eat pork, but they will eat shellfish.
But
I'm
this
sorry,
also
I
because,
study the word.
Because black people eat lots of lobster, and they love to eat the shrimp, like a shrimp cocktail. That keeps you back. That holds you back.
Black folks
eating a lot.
I'm sorry, I don't want to say white folks. So you're saying that white Americans or white Europeans do not eat shrimp? They eat lobster?
They eat shrimp, but they...
They
already dropped the atomic bomb on Japan.
Who do you think flew the planes, man? What about the Tuskegee Air Force? I mean, not the Air Force, but the Tuskegee
Tuskegee
never lost a plane in battle. All African-Americans.
But they didn't.
Every single one of them.
But they didn't drop a bomb, Tuskegee Airmen.
No, but
they just
Tuskegee Airmen let in the people who were flying those planes to drop the bomb. Come on, man. African-Americans has been fighting in the American wars ever since we have been through the Civil War.
Well, that's true.
And
you must know
fight.
That. Mr. Finneen, you must know that, right?
No, I know that. But the generals were white.
What the difference if the generals are white or not? You still have black men on the front line.
Look.
They looked in the eyes of African-American men who shot them and who they shot. So it's not who the generals were. Besides, what about General Colin Powell, who was during that time, during the Vietnam War, African-American man?
There were a lot of black soldiers in Vietnam. I mean, forget about World War II dropping A-bombs. There were a lot of black soldiers in Vietnam at the time.
But they were mostly like a working motor pool.
Motor pool?
You know what?
Wait a second, okay.
All the black soldiers that did what's in Vietnam. That were in the war is be up the front line to pad it so the white man does not get shot.
What makes you
qualify? Pad the front line? Okay.
What did you say?
No. Hold on for a minute. To pad the front line. Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Appreciate it. 1-800-449-8686. Look at Vietnam, Korea. There were plenty of black guys. Where do you say that the Asians were never... You're talking about...
Because they're the general. It was not a black country. It's a white country. They fix food. They fix jeep. They pad front line to keep white men alive.
Well, you don't know much about history, okay? You need to learn a little bit more about history before you start talking about why it is black folks are eating pork and getting sick from that. Then nobody's getting sick from the pork. Nobody is getting. Nobody is dying from the pork necessarily. It's an economic consideration that a lot of people are talking about. Okay, it's the Phil Hendry Show here. 1-800-449-8686. Raj Finneen, who is the he's with a group called Foundation for the Study of Humans, who believes that it is black people being poisoned with pork from the fast food restaurants of Asians that is causing all this enmity between Asians and African Americans. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Okay, the guy's gone. Yeah, I have enough people saying, well, you're giving a guy like that a half hour of airtime. Okay, he's gone. Fine, all right. Anything else? You got anybody better? We got rid of him. I don't know that the theory is all that sound either, but, you know, give the guy enough rope. Yeah, he hung himself. It's no problem. It's Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Let's see. They put the plumbing into the hole in the ground in the backyard. They put some steel in, and it looks like we may have a swimming pool by within the next 10 years, I think. I think they're going to have it done. I think they're going to have it done by the time the kids are out of school and I retire. And it's a beautiful-looking thing. It's got dirt, steel, plastic for the pipes, and then the guy's got to tie the gas line in because we got a barbecue and a fire pit, and it's only going to cost me millions of dollars, and we can't afford it, but you only live once. You only go broke once or twice. I don't know. I hear that Macy went bankrupt 8 times. I'm going to shoot for that. So we have the gas line, which is being run over to the house. And from there, I'm not quite sure where it's going to go. I think there's a big, fat gas line that comes out of the house that they're going to tie it into there. I don't know. Maybe they're going to have to dig through the side of the house, go out underneath the driveway, around to the front, something that's going to, you know, like undermine the entire integrity of the structure, the foundation of the house. Something like that's going to happen. It's going to be bad. And so in putting in this pool and putting this gas line that's eventually going to have to run under the house and go over to this gas meter, basically the whole thing is going to collapse. It's great. And I've only owned it for 2 months. Oh, man. I have got a pinched nerve in my neck that is driving me out of my mind. I'm going to walk off this show in about 5 minutes. I have had this thing in my neck since Saturday morning. Something happened, and I think it was that dancing that I was doing with the little lady. You know, and she asked you to take her dancing, which, of course, my wife asked me just about every day. And I generally get around to it like once every 6 months. So we finally went out there, had ourselves a beautiful evening. I woke up Saturday morning. I can't bend my head. I can't turn my neck. It's just one of those insufferably insane things. And meanwhile, I was going over today. I don't think I'm talking out of school. I did some promo work for the very wonderful people at Fox today. And went over to the studio there and did some promos for one of their kids' shows. And the guy wanted me to hit this word. What was the word the guy wanted me to hit? Maximal. Not maximum. It was maximal. Like a combination of the words maximum and full. So I had to hit this word constantly. And I think that's what finally did it. I think that's what threw my neck out. I was going, maximal energy and maximal power. And the guy says, that's good, Phil, or more energy. Maximal. Ah! And I heard like a vertebrae pop, and I'm paralyzed now from the waist down. Which is the same thing that happened to me years ago when I was doing the Blues Brothers movie promo with a very nice man by the name of Phil Hartman. And the guy on the phone kept saying, faster, faster, harder, harder. And I was getting hot listening to this guy. Faster, harder, more, more, cram more in, stick more in. I got 30 seconds, man. I can't get all that copy in. Get it in! Come on, baby, shove it in! And I walked out of that studio, and I remember we were doing the spot at Shadow Stevens' studio. The guy on Hollywood Squares. Do they still have that show, Hollywood Squares? Well, you know Shadow Stevens, don't you? So anyway, he had this studio. We're doing the spot, and man, I'm telling you, I walked out of there. My right arm was numb. It was like I had a stroke. If you don't think this isn't physical work, This that I do, I don't know about anybody else who's got a radio show out there. I don't know what they do. I know that what I do is extremely physical, and I'm, you know, throwing my neck out, throwing my back out, throwing my arm out. I've got all kinds of problems, man. I think I'm manically depressed. I think I'm going to kill somebody. I think I'm going to herd some people into a freezer if you don't watch out. So I don't know about anybody else out there, but this is extremely physical, and I wind up doing things like that. And then, of course, at the end of the day, everybody wants me to run out there and take them to dinner, take them dancing, be the life of the party. I got to go to a meeting here. Somebody set that up for me after we get off the air tonight. I got to drive up into West Hollywood and sit down and meet with some people who are going to be very nice guys, I'm sure. But, you know, that's the last thing that I want to do when I get off the air at night is go up and meet people someplace and talk biz. But... And then my very, very, very dear, the guy that I respect more than anything in the world, the great Neil Rogers in Miami, had some bad things to say about me on the air. I can't even keep him happy. He seems to think that the show out here, since we left Miami, our show in Los Angeles just sucks on ice. Maybe he's right. We had some good times in Miami. There's no doubt about that. And maybe since we got out to L.A., everything has just gone to hell in a handbasket. It's a basically humorless city. And there were a lot of laughs down in Miami. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get people smiling out here, but it's tough, you know. It's very, God knows there isn't enough to smile about out here. All we got is sun, mountains, beach, desert, chicks. It sucks! All we have out here is just sunshine, morning, noon, and night, unrelenting. Oh, excuse me, we got some marine layer. You mean the temperature dropped to 65? Time for us to slash our wrists. It's 4:39, time to slash your wrists. Way too many G-strings out here. Way too many G-strings, too much beach, too much beachfront. Too many boogie boards, too many wakeboards, too much surf, too much 8-foot surf. Too many restaurants, too many margaritas, too many beers. No wonder everybody in Los Angeles walks around with a big fat front and way too many saline solution 48 triple D fake boobs. No wonder everybody's walking around here ready to blow their brains out. Everyone walks around in this city as if they're living in Buffalo. With no offense to Buffalo. We on in Buffalo? Not anymore. What was it Timothy Leary said? He said that Buffalo's an intelligence test. Everybody that lives there failed the test, basically. So that's what I'm trying to do. Bring a little sunshine to the people out here. And in the process, I ain't making Uncle Neil happy anymore. I can't do it all anymore. I'm sorry. I still love you, Neil. Sorry your show ain't syndicated. Maybe you're bitter about that. You remember what I said to you about that? You remember that day I said, why don't you get syndicated? And you told me that I was butting into your life. You said I had to keep my nose out of your personal affairs. Remember that? So I never mention it again to you. Maybe that's the problem. You ought to get up in a bird. See how easy you think it is. You ought to climb up on top of that bird. Do you see it? So that's one of the real serious problems. And those of you who don't live here, you know, in L.A., those of you listening to us on our sundry other radio stations across the Phil Hendry Network, coast to coast PM, you heard that cat, that Art Bell dude, was laying it out there. Pretty good, wasn't he? If we hadn't buried him in the first few I'm kidding around, Jeff. You did a good job of that. But, you know, out here in L.A., you know, it's so absolutely horrifically great that all we can think to do is sue each other and shoot each other on the freeway. All the other things. You think it's bad in New York. Jesus, for the first time I've heard about a gruesome crime coming out of New York instead of L.A. Check this out, man. There was a cab driver working in that neighborhood by the name of Shahzad Ahmad. He worked in the neighborhood. He said the block is normally very busy with people and police at 11 o'clock. It was just unbelievable this kind of thing would happen out there. New York has gone so far in the other direction from Los Angeles in terms of, you know, the city is safe. Walking through Times Square at 3 o'clock in the morning, anybody can do it. You can try it. L.A., well, you know, it's Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles. It's always going to be what it is, a place that everybody ought to be happy but isn't. I don't know what happened to this town, but people got real upset real fast. We like to blame it on the ones that moved in here from someplace else. I suspect that that's the problem, but I don't know. The smog? Everybody says it really had no effect. I grew up in the middle of that smog pit, San Gabriel Valley. I still smoke 3 packs a day, and I quit, and I'm a healthy guy at 47. I got no spots on my lung. I breathed the air in the San Gabriel Valley for 20 solid straight years, along with 3 packs a day, and I am the picture of health, right? Well, so it didn't kill me. What it did do is make me want to go buy a gun. It didn't kill me. It made me want to go kill somebody else. Anyway, that's what's on our plate today. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Yippee!
Remember when everything was exciting? Then a sad thing happened.
Hey, boss, can I go higher? I'd really like to go higher.
Now there's a place you can go to get the learning resources you need to advance your career. It's Acadio.com. Acadio.com gives you access to thousands of continuing education products that will propel you to a future as fun as your past.
Yippee!
Acadio.
So, you think men and women have nothing in common?
Well, this holiday weekend, open a bottle of Arbor Mist, the great-tasting wine with a splash of fruit. It's the drink women call their own, and yet men find it irresistible. Women love Arbor Mist Tropical Fruit Chardonnay, so do men. The same for Arbor Mist Strawberry White Zinfandel. So what will we agree on next? Perhaps the importance of hugging. Nah, never happen. Can't resist the mist. Arbor Mist Winery, Canandaigua, New York.
I'm 186.
192.
193.
They all had cholesterol levels over 200. Then they brought their numbers down with a food called Benecol Spread, which can reduce cholesterol by as much as 20 points, even if you're already on a cholesterol-lowering medicine.
Pretty neat. I went from 212 to 192 by eating.
Become a Benecol believer yourself. Just enjoy 3 servings a day in place of other spreads. Ask your doctor about cholesterol-lowering Benecol Spread.
Will you have enough money to retire? Introducing FinancialEngines.com, the online investment advisory service that reviews your 401k and IRA investments and offers specific personalized advice to help you improve your chances of meeting your financial goals. Your investments, your goals. The advice you get is personalized for you. Take control of your financial future with FinancialEngines.com. Log on today for your free 30-day trial. Offer good through June 16th. Cannot be combined with other promotions.
Hi, it's Laszlo. I'm standing outside the AOL Time Warner building.
Anyway, I had to lift these buckets and pulled my back out. And man, ever since then, it's just been one bloody thing after the next. And I've been to chiropractors. I probably ought to go a little bit. Taylor says he gives his cat a bath and he bleeds for days. You bathe your cat? Hell, I wouldn't. That my cat can lick his freaking, that's his bath. I'm not putting him in a tub for love or money. Anyway, I had to lift these buckets and pulled my back out. And man, ever since then, it's just been one bloody thing after the next. And I've been to chiropractors. I probably ought to go a little bit more often. I was going to one chiropractor. Jesus, the bedside manner on this person, man. This individual is telling me how I could be blood pressure. It could be cancer. I said, you're a chiropractor. You're not an MD. Don't start giving me the diagnosis like you're freaking Ben Casey coming down the hallway with an empty gurney going, we tried to save him, but it was a stiff neck. Why don't you just put me out of my misery now, okay? Get Kevorkian on the phone. Henry's got a bad back. Go into these people, man. Chiropractors, I believe in them. But you guys ain't MDs, okay? Don't be taking my appendix out. Just straighten my back out. If it's anything worse, I'll go to the doctor. And this thing with my neck has to do with the back, has to do with everything else, so it really sucks, and you don't want it, believe me. You do not want to have to suffer with this because it's just, it's endless. Woo, man. Getting all the Advil is, it's good, though. If I could get a hold of some really good muscle relaxants, and if I really got lucky and got a hold of something I could shoot up, God, that'd be great. Morphine? I had a next-door neighbor once, I don't want to say who, but she had a prescription for morphine, little tiny capsules of morphine, little small cap, you know, and so what am I going to go over there on a Friday night and, hey, have you got any morphine? When's the last time you heard anybody getting high with that stuff? Well, maybe I'm asking the wrong guy, Jeff. I'm kidding. Painkillers, they're good. I pulled my back out once, pouring concrete when I was 20 years old, lifting cement buckets and wheelbarrows full of concrete and pouring pool decks and driveways and all this crap down in Orlando when they were building Disney World and the big building boom was going, so they're putting houses up left and right. And I was 19 years old, making a whopping $2 an hour and spending all of my money there at the Steak and Ale on a Friday night. But what did I know? I was, I was out of the house for the first time, yanked my back out. They took me to the emergency room. I got a couple of shots of Demerol, one in each hip. It was great. Went flying out of there. Whew. Those were the days. My wife says, I said to her today, what are you doing? I got brownie meetings, and then I'm going to go and talk to the bank, and then I'm going to come back here and get on the exercise cycle, and then I'm going to just fold some laundry. I said, you want to trade days? I'll take that. I went over there to Fox about 11 o'clock this morning. I did this promo, and I'm going to get the kids up early on Saturday so they can see it, so they can hear my voice. And I thought I was really blowing it bad. I mean, I don't know if I was, but it was something like maximal energy, maximal risk. I was doing this voice, and I thought it really sucked. And the guy said, no, come on here, listen to it. I listened to it. I said, Jesus, sounds as good as half of those jackasses that you hire. Yeah, we'll bring you back and do some other stuff. Phil, it was great. So if you hear all these great promos on Fox on Saturday morning or the rest of the week talking about maximal something, that's me. And I thought I was really going to hate it, too. Generally, I can't stand doing that kind of work because the guy will give you he'll give you an instruction like this, you know. Okay, Phil, on the word maximal, on go way up, and then on zumul, go way down. And then what I need for you to do is stretch out the word pork, stretch it way out so it's maximal pork. That's it. Is that what you wanted? Perfect. Stretch that way out, down inflect on leather. So you have maximal pork leather. That's really what you want. That's exactly what we want. All right, go. Maximal pork leather. We had another thought, Phil. It was perfect. Do it again. Did you like it? Absolutely perfect. Take six. That's why I stopped doing that, because I think I told a story, but it bears repeating, because I think that guy's out of the business now, the guy that was producing the promo for a CBS show called Teach, which is off the air. I'm still here, but Teach is off the air. But anyway, I went in there to do this promo, this read for a CBS television show that I think was on for three episodes, and I couldn't get it right, and the producer was in there. One of these cats wearing those kind of Perry Ellis slacks with the slip-on shoe with the no-sock thing, kind of a long silk shirt, rolled up slightly at the sleeve, the cell phone strapped into the pocket. He's got a hair that looks like a Jay Sebring would have coiffed it had Jay survived the gunshots there that night in the Manson clan. And then another thing, and he had the glasses, sort of the real Don Steele look with the glasses, you know, kind of a sort of a handsome guy for 55 or whatever he was. He's producing this promo for this TV show called Teach, which involves the very original premise of a black guy teaching in an all-white prep academy someplace, and he's going to bring the street into these white kids. So in other words, it's another show where we have the African-Americans going to loosen up all the white people with rhythm and song, and in the process, maybe a life lesson is learned. Kind of like the roles that Whoopi Goldberg plays in Sister Act and that other piece of crap that she did with, what's his name, Ray Liotta. What was that thing? See, there was some show she played the woman who comes in, and he's a widower, and he's suffering the loss of his wife, and she hits the house as the new, what the hell ever, what was she? I don't know. She's a nanny or something, and she's going to make him smile and be happy, because that's what black folks are here for, to make these dour white people with the sphincters about as you couldn't even get straw through it loosen up a little bit. Kind of like, in other words, Mr. Bluebird on my show. What do you mean, ghost? I said Ray Liotta. Although she played that role in Ghost 2. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So I did this promo, and it was a private eye reading, something like, you should watch Teach on Friday nights on CBS. They wanted a Rod Serling thing. I wasn't hitting it for whatever reason. I don't know why. Maybe my biorhythms were off that day. Maybe I'm just not the man for the job. This guy's in there very visibly upset. He's not getting it. He's growling, and he's grunting, and he's upset, and his looks like a stain is beginning to form there in his silk slacks. Like I'm looking a little skid there going up the back of those slacks. You know, he's Corina. That was the movie. And leave it to Mike. He probably saw that one on pay-per-view, too. And I said, you know what, pal? I'm out of here. I don't want to do your rotten, stinking, lousy, funky promo. Adios. I'm a ghost. And as I'm walking out, I can hear the guy swearing up a storm and screaming, and how dare you, and I'm going to call your agent. And I said, I got news for you. I haven't got an agent. I got this gig through somebody I knew here. Bye. Well, who was that? I forget. That's the last time I did any voiceover work. The last. And I mercifully stayed away from it until this year. Is it any wonder that I'm getting as unhappy as I was then doing that now? And you know what? It ain't paying any better either. Oh, well, that's my life. How about yours? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.